the three-dimensional way of doing things is, oh, don't start offering it to other people until you've mastered it, because you don't want to mislead people, you don't want to get things wrong. Well, I would say that unless you start bringing it to the world, you will not even know how talented you are, and you will not even know how much good you can do in the world. So if you've got a special gift, be it whatever it is, just bring it to the world, because that's where you feel expansion, but also the immense sense of satisfaction as you're starting to serve.
Hi, welcome to the Positive Spirit Podcast with Shelley. I'm Shelley Wisicki Frankie, your host, and I'm so glad that you're here. In this podcast, I will introduce you to various spiritual and healing modalities that will ignite your curiosity, fill your spirit with positivity, and expand your consciousness. Everyone from the spiritual newbie to the seasoned light worker will enjoy my conversations with change makers who, along with myself, are here to support the soulful growth of your body, mind, and positive spirit. I'm so deeply honored that you're here. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Positive Spirit Podcast with Shelley. I'm so glad that you have decided to tune in today, because you are in for a treat. I have Rhea Lovegaard with me, and I am not kidding when I say I have been so excited about this interview all day and have been looking forward to it. So let me introduce you to Rhea. Rhea Lovegaard is a light language and star seed activator. Her mission is to activate and equip star seeds, healers, and light workers to step into their divine mission. Rhea's light language transmissions contain powerful galactic frequencies aimed at unlocking your full divine potential and rewiring you for your most amazing experience in the 3D reality. She's also been nicknamed the Galactic Linguist due to the fact that she can speak multiple extraterrestrial light languages, such as Andromedan, Arcturian, Lyrian, Avian, and Feline, Sirian, and Pleiadian. She also remembers the languages of ancient civilizations of Lumeria and Atlantis. Rhea can tell other people's light language origins just by listening to audio samples, as well as activate the ability to speak light languages in her students. That is such an amazing introduction for what I know is going to be an amazing episode. Rhea, welcome to the Positive Spirit.
Thank you for having me. Welcome.
I'm just sitting here like smiling, because I have a personal, deep personal interest in light languages and the galactic realm in general. So when I came across you, I think it was actually on a Facebook feed. I saw one of your live videos, and immediately I went and listened to everything that you were doing and everything that you were saying, and it just made perfect sense. So when you said yes and decided to come on the show to share your incredible message and gift with the listeners, I was just so filled with gratitude that we were able to make this happen, because I absolutely know that there are so many people that are going to be touched by this.
I'm so grateful for the space you're creating, because, you know, people like us who speak, light languages, or who do things out of ordinary, if you went back a few decades ago, we would either be put in a mental asylum or burned at stake. So it's great to have a safe space where we can express ourselves, and even things that maybe are out of ordinary are becoming accepted.
Mm-hmm. So I am so incredibly interested, like, how did you connect with light language? How did this come into your life? Like, were you a little girl and
you just remembered right off the bat when you incarnated in this life. I would love for you to walk us through how this kind of came about for you.
So the first light language activated in me when I was in my early 20s. I'm 35 now, so that was about 15 years ago. And interestingly enough, I've been drawn to light language ever since I've heard about it in my teens. And the only place where I knew that people could do it is in a church environment. So as a result, because for those of you who don't know, light language is pretty much the same that what Christians call the gift of tongues. It's non-religious thing. It is available for everyone, regardless of their religious background. But that was the only place I knew. And part of me actually wanted this language. I just wanted it. It was calling me. And I remember when I went to this Christian retreat. We were staying for a week in the woods and like praying and worshiping. And I'm very much about the sound. I used to play in a worship band, so sound is a big thing for me, and it always has been. As a child, I played the piano and then I played in a band. So it's all about sound for me. So this language was calling my name, and it got activated during this Christian retreat. I didn't know what it was because it wasn't explained to me back then. It wasn't really, nobody told me that I can even understand it. This was supposed to be another great ability that, some gifted people get. But then I've had it since and it never stopped. I didn't know what language it was at the time. The only thing I knew is it didn't sound like anything that other people in that church spoke. And now knowing the different light languages, I know what they spoke and what I spoke. So my language is Arcturian language, but I didn't know at the time. It sounds like Arabic. It sounds a bit like Middle Eastern. Mm. And I was like, what is it? But throughout this journey, throughout my 20s and early 30s, this language was always with me and was helping me whenever I felt stressed. For example, when I was on an aircraft and there was some turbulence and I was trying to calm my mind down, I would start speaking this language. It was just my kind of remedy and my little secret. I wouldn't speak it publicly. And only last year, really, in 2020, late 2019, was when the Arcturians, the galactic beings, started coming through to me. And it was basically first time they connected with me was in a dream. And it was like, it's about the time. Get ready. Mm-hmm. I didn't know at the time what starseed was. I was a business person about to lose my business. I didn't know that at the time. But I was really deep in 3D. And the only reason I think I created space for the Arcturians to come through was because a couple of years prior, I started a very regular meditation manifestation practice. So I got to a point where I could calm my mind down. But again, that only happened because I was so stressed. I was so stressed because I was totally out of alignment, running a business that didn't bring me joy and didn't even bring me money. It was just kind of like this massive turnover, not much profit, pleasing everybody else, investors, employees, but not really living to my purpose. And that had to all fall apart. COVID in the first phase played a big role. And that's when actually from all these crumbles of what was left, I kind of properly woke up then to my multidimensionality. And I started connecting with other galactic beings because as soon as I started working with Arcturians, they told me and my husband, Aaron, go meet others, go meet other races. Mm. They'd send us doing rounds. And then what happened was every time we connected to a new race, my husband would get all the visuals because he's like psychic clairvoyant, so he would see things like video playing in front of him. I am non-visual, but as soon as I connect, I get a new language. And I couldn't figure out why that happens. So, but then as I started digging into my soul's history, it turned out that my first incarnation was as a keeper of the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is the record of everything that ever was and is and will be. And as such, working in the records as my first soul's experience, I had to speak all the languages because I was like a galactic librarian back then. So that's why the memory stayed. So that's a bit of a long story, but in essence, that's what it is.
Wow. Okay, so it makes perfect sense that with being the record key or working with the Akashic Records, that you would have to know everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. So you started with the Arcturians, and I find it interesting that you said that the language was always there, and that when you were stressed, it was kind of like your security blanket. Like it helped you feel better. And what a beautiful, I haven't heard that. I haven't had a lot of experiences with people that spoke light language, but I have definitely not heard that piece. So thank you for sharing that. That's actually quite lovely. And it's like so many other spiritual things that once you say yes and open the door, literally everything just starts coming and flooding in that's in alignment for you. So that's really cool that the other languages and you started seeing the other races. And I'm like your husband. Like I see, I get the visual. It just kind of goes bloop. It drops in my head. I see it. And I'm like, okay, there's one of my little spirit guides is Mina. And she's this beautiful little green being. And yeah, when I get stressed out, I hear her name and it's just Mina. It's beautiful. So that's really cool. So everyone, just like on Earth, the galactic beings all have their own dialect. They all have their own language that sound and, you know, has sounds and that come through. So how did you connect who, what language was whose or yeah.
That's a cool question. Basically, like when I was first connecting with the power of intention, so the first race of beings after the Arcturians were the Pleiadians and the Arcturians. My husband and I just basically sat down, we set our intention, we're open to the quantum field, and we're like, we want to connect with the Pleiadians. And it all, we've gone through this process about 15 times, but it always happens the same when we meet a new race. So Aaron gets the visuals, I get the language. So I know this is the language of Pleiadians. And this is how I can tell these languages apart when I hear them, because there's there's a lot of misconceptions around light language because it's such a mystical medium. People use it in meditations, but would never explain what it actually is. So some people think that light language is, there's a unique language for every person. And that's partially true, but I'll touch on it. Some other people think that it's just one language because the name itself is misleading. It's light language. I prefer light languages because there's many different dialects. But I believe that every single person has this soul's unique sound, and that's irreplicable. Everybody's got a unique one. So that's one type of light language. And I've got that as well. But that was one of the last ones that unlocked after all the shadow work, after stripping all the layers. I connected with my soul and my soul started singing. And that actually comes as a song. It comes with a melody. My soul, unfortunately, hasn't got a very musical ear and it's completely out of tune. So that's something I never do in public. Even though I train as a musician, but my soul just is completely out of kilter. But other languages, when they were coming through, I just knew, okay, I'm connecting with Lyrans. So this is Lyran language. Or sometimes it came the other way around. So because as soon as I come into contact with an energy, I can express it in the form of sound. So apart from galactic languages, I've had experiences with, for example, I was in north of Australia and I sat on a rock and I started connecting with Mother Earth. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to connect to Gaia. But no, I connected to the like a local spirit of the land, the local Aboriginal spirit. And I started like channeling this language that sounded like Aboriginal language, and I'm aware of what they sound like because I sometimes listen to like a First Nations radio station, so it sounded familiar. So basically for me, light language is nothing else but the ability to express energy in the form of sound, in the same way as perhaps yourself express energy in the form of visuals. So your pineal gland deciphers whatever's coming through as a picture or a video. Well, I haven't been gifted with visuals yet. I hope they're coming through, but very, very faintly. I'm more of a like a claircognizant person, but 100%, everything that comes through, I express through sound. So that's just how I've been wired.
Wow. What an incredible, incredible gift. Like, I am the opposite. I feel like my soul is kind of tone deaf. Like, it's just, sound for me is, like, I have to focus. I have to really, like, pay attention and get quiet and tune in. So that's really cool that, you know, for a multitude of things that are still showing up for you, which is so beautiful, that the way that you are able to interpret everything is through the sound and the language of, you know, like you said, the Aboriginal spirits and the galactic realm. And like, have you heard, trees or plants or anything like that? Like, has that come through or is it more?
I connect to trees and to nature. I've never actually tried to express it as a sound. So you've just thrown me a challenge. But because I work closely with Andromedan beings and they're very much in tune with their environment and they worship trees, they've got a hierarchy of trees and the trees are considered on their planet as wisdom keepers. A little bit Andromedan society is a little bit like Avatar, like that kind of vibe, and it's all beautiful tropical planet with lush greenery and waterfalls, etc. I know I can communicate with trees. I believe there's consciousness in everything, and it's in nature, it's in rocks, it's in animals. So whatever you want to tune into, you can. And obviously, depending on what are your like spiritual senses, that will determine how it comes through to you. For me, it's all about sound. For someone, it might be visual or just the sense of knowing. And I think what's really important is to recognize that every spiritual sense is as valid as one another. And I know that because of how three-dimensional reality works, we are predominantly focused on the sense of sight, and that's And even the vocabulary, you know, you say, oh, someone's a visionary. It sounds like great. And I know that for maybe for some of the listeners, perhaps they're non-visual and they think, oh, I'm not psychic, for example, because I'm not visual. It doesn't have to be visual. I've had to overcome a lot of that because I've always been surrounded by like visual psychics, my husband being the example. I've had my best friend was really kind of like prophetic. And when we were about like 20 years old, she could see me. And when I was like 30 and you know, see into the future. So I was always surrounded by people like that. And I was like, I only wish I could do that. But then for me, it's not like that. For me, it's about sound. So if you're listening and thinking, oh, maybe I'm not visual, or maybe I don't see things, just the fact that you don't see doesn't mean that you're not experiencing things. Just learn what your predominant spiritual sense is, and by all means, work on developing others, but never ever dismiss just your unique gifting, because I have been dismissing my kind of abilities for such a long time. It's always been like, you know, I just speak this freak language. What can I do with it? Well, that was until I've realized that these languages have really put like powerful frequencies. They, you know, able to heal, activate, and do other things. But yeah, that's a whole another window to go through.
And I mean, so beautifully said. There are so many people that are going through an awakening right now, and you can feel the energetic shift. You can feel like, I'll tell you what, these young generation and these babies that are being born are off the charts.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for just putting out there for anyone listening, for themselves, for their children, for their grandchildren, to be open to just watching and listening and supporting however these gifts are coming through. So that's a really beautiful message. Thank you so much for sharing that.
I actually wanted to add something to it, especially for those of you who are parents and grandparents. I working with people and unlocking people who like languages, I often come across people who actually spoke light languages as a child. And talking about younger generations, I'm very active on TikTok, and I've been quite clearly guided to do it because this is where the young generation is. And one thing I notice is that the veil of forgetfulness is getting thinner. So people are coming through really activated. So what the older generation had to work really hard to unlock these gifts, to unlock these abilities, the youngsters today that literally have it all like active just as soon as they're born. So I've got actually a couple of messages to parents and grandparents. Don't put any blocks on your young one's expression, because I've come across so many people who spoke light languages, and when they hear me speak my light languages on TikTok, they're like, that's like the imaginary language that I spoke as a child. Oh, me and my sister used to speak this language, but our parents told us not to do it anymore because it's all made up. Well, a lot of children have abilities to speak light language. So if you listen, just take it on board and don't tell them that it's wrong, because that might be the unique expression. And unfortunately, when it comes to expression, that is such a big, big thing in today's world, that where we're not expressing ourselves, we're putting a damper on our expression in many different ways. You know, you hear this like, in my native Polish language, we say that children are like fish where they've got no voice, or, you know, in English it's like kids are seen and not heard, and things like that. I believe we really need to take the lid of our expression, because it is so beautiful when people are expressing themselves, be it through art, be it through business. Oh, the world becomes a better place, and we all start raising this place up when we stop fitting into the molds and when we start actually expressing ourselves.
I literally just felt the chill go the whole way down my spine. You know, Rhea and I were talking before the show and we were saying, you know, we just kind of go with the flow and we trust that we will be guided to speak to what is important for those that are listening. And, you know, you have no idea that my background is actually in early childhood education. I worked with the littles because I loved that they had only been on the planet for a few years. And I recognized that when I was a little girl. So how beautiful that this is where we were both led to talk and touch on the importance of just, like you said, taking the lid off and creating that container and creating that space that's safe and that it's okay and there's no judgment. And, you know, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful message for everybody. So thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I'm going to digress. And when you were talking about the Arcturians and, you know, that they have trees on their planet and they're wisdom keepers. So you have the language that comes through, but you also kind of have a feel for the space and the planet where these beings are from.
Yes. So that is a co-creation. So actually Andromedans, the ones with the greenery and planet. Arcturians are slightly different. They're very high tech. But this is a co-creation between me and my husband. So how it happens is that he usually describes the visual because I get a sense of knowing what it is. And I communicate with them telepathically, because what you've got to remember is that, yes, the energy can be expressed through language, but you don't need the language to communicate with them. It comes in the form of visuals. It comes in the form of thoughts. And again, with channeling, it's very, very important not to filter it through your conscious mind, because the conscious mind will start saying to you, oh, you must be making it up. Oh, no, it's not the case. But yeah, I do get a feel for the society. We're friends. I'm friends with so many galactic races. So if you have any questions about any of them, feel free to ask. I'm happy to share a little bit about how they are and their ways.
That's cool. Okay, I have all the questions.
Go on. The knowledge I've got from about the galactic beings is because I asked the most childlike questions, like, you know, what are the hairstyles on Arcturus and what do they eat? My latest funny toilet is other. Question was other toilets and the Akashic records. I don't think there are. But yeah, any questions? I think, you know, this is that childlike curiosity. And actually talking about, like, you know, silly questions, this is the Arcturian spirit. My last galactic lifetime was on Arcturus, and this Arcturians have a sense of humor. So let me tell you this, they've got a sense of humor. So this childlike curiosity and asking the most silly questions, the most unusual questions, that's just a part of me. But that's how I learn about these things, because I don't just like, oh, you know, give me a channeled message to humanity. Is I ask them, but why, but what, but right, how, and all of that. And that's how we get the information. Sometimes my husband, who's, we is usually me asking him, channeling the information. And goodness me, he's tortured by my endless questions.
So Arcturians have a sense of humor. What is their planet like? Are there buildings? Do they live in the ground, above ground? How does that work?
So Arcturians are very high tech, and they are very advanced. I think, in fact, They're the best in the galaxy. Let me tell you that as an actor in South
Africa. I just felt the collective.
Yes. And but they haven't, well, by human standards, they haven't got any ego, but they know they're one of the most advanced races. I think the most advanced race. So what the planet is a cold planet. So what's really interesting is that when we talk all these names that we give those beings, that's not obviously what they call themselves. So for example, you know, for example, we, you know, we say Arcturians because we assume they live on Arcturus. Well, Arcturus is actually a star, which is like our sun. So by that terms, we would call ourselves the Solarians rather than the Terrestrials, because we live in the planetary system, which revolves around the sun. So Arcturus is just the star. And there is a planetary system. So I've only been shown glimpses of life on Arcturus. When we usually connect, we connect to the collective consciousness, because this is one of the characteristics of Arcturian society, is that they have ascended from lower dimensions like 3D into fifth dimensional consciousness and higher, by pooling their consciousness. So they've got unity consciousness, and this is their biggest asset, because that's how they share information. This is how they store the knowledge. They're very advanced with medical technology. They're very advanced with spacecrafts. Arcturian spacecraft are actually crystalline, because when we think about spacecraft, we think about metal, but they're actually crystalline, and they Arcturians are masters of consciousness. So basically they're the inner work masters. So for example, and I believe there was instances where Arcturian craft was retrieved on Earth, humans wouldn't be able to work it out, because how they operate it is that the pilot merges their consciousness with the consciousness of a craft. So in the way, that's how they steer their ships, is by the power of consciousness. And everything is like consciousness technology, because when we think about advanced technology, we think about machines, because that's how it's been on Earth. You know, we've got computers, we've got medical machines, we've got cars, etc. Arcturians are masters of inner technology, of consciousness technology. So they don't, it's like they also have artificial intelligence, but they've created artificial intelligence in a really, with really pure intentions. So what is really interesting is the intention behind everything that they create. You know, here on Earth, we're still at the stage where we would look to weaponize certain technologies. Well, Arcturians are peaceful nation, but because they are so smart and they're so strong, they basically don't have to fear any external factors. And because there is no competition, everybody's got, it's almost like a utopian society. Everybody has got access to all the resources they need. So let's say you're a researcher, you will have access to the best labs, to the best to the best, you know, resources, to whatever you do. And because there's no competition, there is co-creation. So that's why they've been able to advance so far beyond what we do, because there's none of this struggle. Like, on Earth, let's say there is a limited number of grants available for research, and all these kind of scientists will be competing who will get the grant. Well, on Arcturus, there's no competition, and whatever they've got, they create, because they created with the power of the consciousness. So that's a little glimpse into the Arcturian collective.
Wow. Yeah. I like the whole time you're talking, it's like, you know, I could just see like the little frequencies, like everything is frequency. Everything is in the quantum, everything. And I actually wrote down, there's not competition, there's co-creation. What an incredible approach. Like, that's really, really cool.
They just have this higher dimensional perspective. And, you know, what I like about hanging out with the galactics is not like, oh, it's extraterrestrials, how amazing. It's just the perspective that they bring. They very understanding of our ways, but they've got totally different ways and they're completely non-judgmental. One of the things that comes with most of the galactic star nations, and especially with the Arcturians, is zero judgment. It's literally this total beautiful acceptance. And that's why I like being around them, because you don't get any judgment, and we can learn so much. And I think as we are transcending this three-dimensional like ways of being, there's so much we can learn from some of the other nations. Think, you know, compare notes and take inspiration.
Right. So is there, like, they all obviously would have their own unique planet and space and stuff. Is there one that kind of sticks out at, like, that is just so different, or so, like, is there one that's water? Like, what are some of the nuances and the differences that you've come across that you're like, whoa, that's cool?
Yeah, there's a lot of differences. There's some that are very similar to us. So, for example, Lyrans, especially the ones of avian kind, because there's different Lyrans. There's Lyrans, there's the birds and the cats, the felines and the avians. I'm more connected to the Asians because I used to be one of them in one of my past lifetimes. So they are very similar to humans. So their society, they even look like us, bar this humongous wings that they've got. They like what we would depict as an angel. That's what Lyran avians look like. And they're very similar to us in many different ways. They've got, for example, they've got family units. But each one of them works in their craft, and they have, like, we've got a weekend every, every 5 days, and there's a day off. They've got 4 days of, they don't even call it work, creation. And the fifth day is for communal activities. And Lyran society is very, it follows, for example, the difference. That's something that stands out. It's like Lyran society follows lineage. So if you were a healer, it means probably your parents were healers and your grandparents were healers, and they passed the knowledge in the DNA. And it's like, I've asked many times, because I'm like, well, wouldn't you rebel against it? Like, I don't know, you were born in a family of healers, but you want to be a soldier? And they're like, well, why would you? Like, it would... It's just not, it's not how we do things. Although, and then usually they also marry within those, what we would call like almost castes, but there are mixed marriages. And obviously, again, I've been asking about it. So I'm like, well, what if a scientist falls in love with a soldier? And what happens to the children then? What kind of lineage they follow? And they explain this like there's a dominant gene. And sometimes the most gifted individuals come from this gene pool. So that is a very, very different society to us, even though in appearance they're so similar. Another weird one is the Orions. The Orions, or the Mintaka beings. They are, what really totally shocked me about them is that they don't eat food for fun. They eat food for sustenance, and they produce this algae kind of sustenance. I wouldn't even call it food, but they just completely treat food functionally. Very advanced society. They're masters of DNA. They literally can... Wow, what they can do with DNA is incredible, but they just kind of like, they don't eat for fun. So they are so different, but each one of them have their ways. Another interesting example is the Lyran felines, the cats. They're very hierarchical. They've got like almost like a royal line. And again, so it's just like, it's almost like when you go and see different cultures here on Earth, and you've got to have a certain degree of open-mindedness and be like, okay, that's how they do things. That's how we do things. And that's how we can learn from one another.
So are the avians like, are they on the same planet? Are the birds and the cats on the same planet? They have their own planet. Okay.
They have their own planet. I mean, Lyra, that planet actually has been destroyed like eons ago in a draconian invasion, and they had to move. But yeah, I asked this question and the answer I got was, can you imagine cats and birds together?
That's what I was thinking.
No, they've got different societies. I'm not as closely connected with the felines. I work with them when I work with clients, because sometimes I have clients come to me whose guides are felines. But cats have their own ways. They're really interesting as guides. So like, for example, Arcturians are always available. They're always there. They are same with, for example, Lemurians who are here on Earth. Lemurians are like, they just can't do enough for you. They always there. Cats, the Lyran felines, they come on their own terms. They literally like cats. They come on their own terms. They've been very helpful to me on many occasions. They turned up unexpected when I needed them. And they when I say cats, they're not like, you know, little pussy cats. They're more like jaguars, or I sometimes see these big black pumas. Sometimes I see them in the completely feline form. Sometimes it's like a feline head and a humanoid body. But they work on their own terms. So don't expect. The feline way of being, I suppose. So yeah, they all have their unique ways. And if you start connecting with different galactic beings, you will learn to recognize the unique energy signatures. And this is also how I recognize light languages in people. It's not just that I listen to the sound, but I listen to the energy behind it. Because sometimes the same language and the same energy is expressed in slightly different way, but it's still the same language. So for example, when I speak Syrian language, it's very slow. My Syrian is like a train that's just kind of like a rolling slowly. But I've heard people who speak Syrian much faster. But I can recognize that's still Syrian because it's the same energetic signature.
Gotcha. Okay, that's a really good point that, you know, like we said earlier, everything has energy. So it makes sense that the language would have an energetic signature as well. So yeah, that's really cool. Thank you for connecting that dot. Hi, before we get back to the rest of our program, I wanted to let you know about a special that's happening at the Positive Spirit Company for a Healy aura scan with 60-minute consultation. Looking at your aura can be helpful in identifying dis-ease or blocks within your chakra system. This scan captures an image of your aura, provides a detailed interpretation of each chakra's energy level. A program is then generated to support your most imbalanced chakras. During your consultation, you will be provided with your aura image and personalized program. This analysis will be emailed to you via PDF format. So if you're interested in saving 20%, head over to the Positive Spirit Company's Facebook page and under services, schedule your aura scan now. Type in SPIRIT20 to receive your discount. And now back to our program. So Atlantis and Lemuria, how are those different for people listening than the galactic folks that you...
Okay, so Atlantis and Lemuria were two ancient civilizations here on Earth. So it's not outside Earth, it's here on Earth. And what was great about the Atlanteans and Lemurians is they were connected to all these galactic beings. So for example, Atlanteans were seeded by the Arcturians. They were like almost like Arcturians became their mothers and fathers and mentors, and same with Syrians. So back in those days, you know, we had visitors from other places in the galaxy. And because many galactic beings can change density, so they can appear in physical form as much as ethereal form. And same with Lemurians, they in Atlanteans, they have this ability to come from the three-dimensional denser frequency band to a higher dimensional band. There was a connection going on. And how are they different? So basically, Lemurian Atlantis were very advanced civilizations that almost made the ascension window. They almost ascended, but unfortunately, human ego took over. And what was the demise of these two civilizations was a rivalry between them, and also this kind of conviction, I think, from the Atlanteans especially, that these two civilizations should lead the rest of the human society, because there was other there were other human, you know, societies at the time, other communities, but Atlanteans wanted to dominate. Remurians were against it, and they engaged in a war, and that literally then accrued a lot of karma, a lot of trauma, and both of these continents sank. However, some of the Lemurians and Atlanteans still alive. So Lemurians descended underground. So there's underground cities where they live. And whenever, it's really interesting, because whenever I work with the Galactics, I feel like they're coming up from somewhere there, from the ether. Lemurians always emerge. And what is really cool about working with Lemurians and Atlanteans is that they are, especially Lemurians, they're so keen to help us in this time of great awakening for humanity, because they want us not to make the same mistakes that they've made. They want to ensure that as a planet, we ascend collectively. What's really interesting is that Lemurian and Atlantean frequencies really resonate with people. So whenever I speak galactic languages, some people have very strong emotions and like feeling of familiarity. But when I speak Atlantean and Lemurian, this is where true magic happens, because there's so many Atlantean and Lemurian descendants here on Earth today that really, like, as soon as they come into contact with the frequencies, their memories awaken. So I've done like a 1 minute transmission on TikTok, and I've had like thousands of comments where people were seeing visions of the life and memories. And if it's okay, I wouldn't mind doing a little transmission of Lemurian and Atlantean for the listeners, if you allow.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so I would love to do that, because I'm sure that some of you listening have Lemurian or Atlantean heritage. And as soon as you listen to this language, it will start stirring inside you. You might feel emotional. Sometimes people have strong emotions because they were a member of one civilization, not the other. So some people like me were a member of both. So sometimes Atlantean might sound a bit off to someone who's been a Lemurian and vice versa. But another thing to indicate is that Lemurian frequencies are the divine feminine frequency. It's like a motherly love. It's like really gentle. Atlantean frequencies are the divine masculine. And it, whenever I speak Atlantean, is like a call to arms. I see battlefields with all this like masculine energy. But we are here moving to this period of divine union, where we need both masculine and feminine.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you.
So I'll start with the Lemurian. So the intention behind this transmission will be to awaken your memories of Lemuria. Ela mekana ukinima ase itamusu ukinima ase e nemusu kutume ea alaku me inasu measu tuke measa timusu namena nekutu ima ase u ikama kunumusu etiminusu mea sukutu e mea sa, te anuma sa e akia su, mea sa, inamusu tu e siaka mea tu, nema usa ame ia ase, ita kusuma, ne ama asea ate kua manea sea, nema lula sikatama a, ikatutu menea sa, inamu, enakamamu, etakesuku, etakasaku, etakasakea, tumane, oamanase, ukusu, etiu, etama. Let me just translate now. So basically what they were doing is they were activating your heart center, and they were lifting the fog from the head, from the brain if anybody has any memories that they will lift up. And I found it interesting that I was repeating the word Mu a lot. That's what they called their own civilization, Lemuria. They called it Mu. So that's Lemurian.
Oh, Rhea, that was beautiful. It was very, very gentle and very flowy and very loving and very almost like a beautiful, gentle shower, just kind of washing everything away, like a beautiful waterfall. So that was absolutely lovely. Thank you so much.
That's the essence of Lemuria, the feminine, gentle, beautiful energy. You will hear the difference in frequency of Atlantean. It's totally, totally different. A lot of people shy away from working with Atlantean frequencies because they're very strong frequencies, they're very masculine. And I actually had a lifetime in Atlantis as a warrior. So I was a man back then. So I've got affinity with Atlanteans. And I would like to do a brief Atlantean transmission with a special intention of activating the divine masculine in both males and females, because we need both. But what I'll do is, perhaps if you're a man listening to it, this will be the intention of connecting you with your divine masculine essence even more. If you're a female, I would like you to experience healing of all the distorted masculine frequencies that you've experienced, because there's a lot of that on Earth. So Atlantean language is the divine masculine, the beautiful masculine, not this kind of distorted masculine. So just open up, relax, and allow these frequencies to wash over you and activate the divine masculine in you. Tera kamarak erukushak ataraka sukumarakerak are tikut utukumasarek etakara makusuk etarak etarukutu sakamaraketus atakameraka tukuruk arakiak aramika turukusemekarak nerukura kiakara mak enamusu turukura serak ataraka suk utukarabara terushuk etarakaraketik nemaruku sukuruku barakate kiamarak etekir Narek arekturek utukurumerak arasuk erasuk erasuk eratarasuk. Tera marakia kurakasaratek arakana marokuk aratera sukuruk eramarakerak. Karikurak yaraba karakanama karakuruk urukurek erakarek erasak etarusukurukuramak atarakurukusuk etarak ekurusuk. Let me translate that. Slightly different frequency. What I've been shown as I was speaking the Atlantean's role as protectors of this ascension pathway. I've been shown almost like a pathway with like wooden stakes on both sides, and I could feel Atlantean frequencies on both sides protecting us in this ascension pathway, like to say, we're here, we support you. Our masculine energies support you as humanity. That's Atlantean.
It's interesting that you said you kind of feel the stakes, because what I saw was almost like standing on an outcrop overlooking with a kind of like a spear or a stake. I had a spear in my hand. So that's, yeah. And there was like a beautiful sun, and it was just, that's really, really, really cool.
Yeah. See, you can understand light language. That's another thing that people say, oh, you can't understand it. It's just like, you know, it's just frequency. Yes, there's frequency. Yes, there's energy in it, but there's also often information. And sometimes when I channel, sometimes people have this, you know, I've had very similar experience to what you had this time. And it's quite normal. Sometimes it will activate something specific in a person, but you can absolutely understand those frequencies. Maybe not word for word, but you can get a picture. Sometimes the language tells a story. So I remember I was running my light languages course a while ago, and I'm doing these exercises with my students where I will channel and I will get them to translate. And I remember actually speaking Lemurian and Atlantean then. And the story was actually the story of the civilization demise. It was really sad. And both from Atlanteans and the Lemurians, and everybody got it. Another time I spoke again in a different exercise. I spoke Lemurian, and I had this very, very vivid depiction of a surfboard, of being on a surfboard. And the message was, you know, no matter how big the waves are, as long as you keep your balance, you'll be fine. And one of my students had, and then I'm not saying what I've actually just said, I'm just asking them, hey guys, what did you get? And one of them says, I've seen a surfboard. And you know, surfboard is pretty kind of like a random thing. It's not like, you know, a crystal or something like that. It's a surfboard. And it was exactly what it was. So I believe as our understanding of these frequencies increases, we will be able to actually understand word for word, and it will become a valid form of communication. But for now, we can definitely utilize the frequencies to activate certain aspects. So for example, every language carries special energy signatures. So, you know, the feminine in Lemurian, the masculine, and the energy of confidence in the Atlantean. But, you know, you can also code them with specific intention, being love, abundance, and you can use these languages as a medium for transmitting different galactic codes. There's a lot of things you can do with it.
So is this something that the more you're exposed to it, and you know, like, this is one of the things that I share with people, is that we're all intuitive beings. We're all, there's nothing special about, you know, we all have this ability. It's just that some of us have practiced more. Some of us are a little more nuanced with it. So are connecting with the light languages, and is it something that the more you practice, the kind of, the more, just like working out, like you kind of get in shape and you understand it more, and you can dive deeper with it?
That's a really interesting question. So first of all, to activate it, you have to come into contact with this energy. So there is this first moment where your own light language activates. When you actually have it, what happens then, in my experience, is not so much the more you practice, the more it expands, that as well. But what I've noticed is that when the light language has a function and a purpose, that's where I get more of it. So let's say I am walking on the beach and I decide to channel some Arcturian to raise my vibration. I don't often get a meaning, but as soon as I come to serve other people, let's say I go on YouTube channel and I decide I'm going to channel Arcturian to the community, I 100% will get the translation and I will get the meaning, because I feel like there's a language that has a function and has a purpose. That's just my experience. Perhaps people have different experiences, but from my experience, what really, when my spiritual gifts are expanding, and I've noticed that in other people as well, is when you start serving with them. When you're keeping them to yourself, you hit the limit. When you actually start expressing and bringing it to the world, then that's where the magic happens. But it does take a lot of faith, because let's say you were a channel, or let's say you are a tarot reader or a psychic medium. Well, you know, the three-dimensional way of doing things is, don't start offering it to other people until you've mastered it, because you don't want to mislead people. You don't want to get things wrong. Well, I would say that unless you start bringing it to the world, you will not even know how talented you are, and you will not even know how much good you can do in the world. So if you've got a special gift, be it whatever it is, just bring it to the world. because that's where you feel expansion, but also the immense sense of satisfaction as you're starting to serve.
I love that. So in the kind of in that same context of, you know, creating and getting your voice out there and getting your message out there and serving and helping, what, like, do you have anything going on with you personally? You've made a couple comments about classes, because I guarantee there are people that are listening to this that are going to want to reach out to you. So, like, what can you share, kind of what you have going on?
Yeah. So if you head to my website, which is realloveguard.com, you will see what actually I'm doing at the moment. I always try to hold one free class a month for the community. And it's either on sound technology, light language, or sometimes I do business classes too, because I am a great believer in new ways of doing business. So I do that as well. I've got a light language course, which teaches people not just to activate the light language. I do that as well, but I do that literally first day of light language course is where people get the first activation. And most of my students activate the first light language on day one. So the next few weeks of the course is when they get to play with it, because I'm a great believer in, it's not something you attain. It's not something when you good enough, then the light language will come. You have to earn it. It's something you've got already within you. And I know I call myself light language activator, but more like a midwife. I just coax it out. So if you want to connect, then yeah, go to realloveguard.com and you'll see what is going on at the moment in my space.
That's awesome. And you have talked about, you know, being on TikTok, and I know that you're on Facebook because that's where mm-hmm. I found you. And I will put all of this information in the show notes for everyone, but do you want to go through very quickly for the auditory folks, kind of what your handles are and where you are?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok as Super Starseed. That's a little nickname I gave myself, because I believe that, you know, many starseeds are shy, and I want them to become super starseeds, to bring their message to the world. So if you can find me on TikTok and Instagram as at Super Starseed. But if you just head to realloveguard.com, you have all my, handles, all my links, and you can find the way of communicating, connecting that suits more to you. I'm very active on TikTok because I've got this very, very strong urge to serve the young generation. Mm-hmm. Although if you are listening and you're one of the first waves of indigos, let me just end this by extending my gratitude for all the invisible work that you have done for the new generation of starseeds to emerge, because you are the unsung heroes of the ascension. So thank you so much for all of that.
Oh, Rhea, I have enjoyed our conversation so much. I have personally learned so much and cannot wait to work with you to learn even more. So I honor your energy and I honor your work and what you're sharing and bringing to light and creating space and holding space for. I hope that you have a magnificent day. I know that for listeners, I'm in Ohio in the United States and it's 9 p.m. and Rhea is in Australia, so it's 9 a.m. So I hope you have the most beautiful day. And I'm so glad that our paths crossed and am just so excited for the work that you're doing and seeing how it just continues to blossom and grow.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your space. And I wish everybody a wonderful day or night, wherever you are.
Hi, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Positive Spirit Podcast with Shelley. Before you go, I wanted to let you know that I have something for you. About 15 years ago, I had an accident that literally stopped me in my tracks and had me reevaluate how I was living my life and what I was doing. During my recovery, I started to bring in practices of positivity and gratitude, and it has changed everything. Over the last 15 years, I've been able to narrow it down to a few core things that have really helped manifest gratitude and positivity into my life and have it be an everyday occurrence. And I would love to offer this to you as a gift to bring into your life as well. If you are interested, send me an email at thepositivespiritco@gmail.com. That's thepositivespiritco@gmail.com. I will send you an email hard copy of these practices. And as an added bonus, I would love to offer you a video where I dive a little deeper into how this has changed my life and how I know that it can change yours as well. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.